Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
And special with us this week, we have our guest, Sulker. Say hi, Sulker.
Hi, Sulker. Hi, Spike.
All right, well, today is July 17th, 2016, and this is GameBuoy Video Game Podcast, episode 116. Same type attack bonus podcast, episode 1. You can't stop here. This is Zubat Country, a GameBuoy spotlight on Pokemon Go. And before we get to the rest of our episode, of course, I want to give the floor to Sulker here for a minute, introduce himself. For those of you out there in internet radio land who don't know him. And let me get you started here, Let me get you started here, Sulker. What is your history as a gamer? How did you get started gaming?
Funny story, true story. I was just actually talking with my mom about this not 2 days ago. I remember she and my dad bought me my first Nintendo Entertainment System. And I remember distinctly like playing Duck Hunt and the original Mario on those games. And it was just kind of Nintendo fanboyism from there on.
Excellent, excellent. That sounds great. Do you have a favorite game you could reference? Like if I were to say, what's your favorite game? Do you have an answer for that?
I'm going to say that one Kim Kardashian mobile game. No, I would probably say my all-time favorite game is probably Final Fantasy VIII or the original Pokemon Red.
Oh, excellent. Good call. And, you know, Pokemon Red, that really ties in here to what we're doing today because we are actually going to be talking about the new worldwide phenomena that is Pokemon Go, as well as spinning off a new podcast upon which you are going to be one of the three core cast, along with myself and Slaggy McWaggy. So my last question for you here to set this up today is, what are your current gaming addictions?
Well, it's almost like we had planned this previously or something, because I'm going to say Pokemon Go has taken over my life in the last 2 weeks. I've literally spent hours upon hours walking around in the real world looking for digital Pokemon.
Who wants to go to the real world? I'd rather be on Road Rules, but...
Well, you know, you say that, but one of us has an Onix and one of us doesn't.
Oh, yeah. I'm the one who doesn't have an Onix.
That was clear.
All right, you two. Well, welcome once again, all of our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
Which is, as mentioned, also the first episode of our new venture into the world of Pokemon. Which is
Pokemon.
Perfect, as we're discussing the world of Pokemon's first venture into our actual world. So, without any further ado, let's get this show underway. Slag, you want to get us started with our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits?
We have some TurboGrafx-16 gems coming to the Wii U Virtual Console.
They actually came to the Wii U Virtual Console this week, I believe.
That's correct. So we have Bonk's Adventure, New Adventure Island, and R-Type. And on new Nintendo 3DS, you can also get Final Fight.
Excellent. And is that the arcade original or the Super Famicom port?
It appears to be the Super Famicom port.
Excellent, excellent. You know, that's a great game. Obviously, Final Fight has spawned, you know, an entire generation of imitators, so it's nice to have the original there. Sulker, do you have any feelings about any of these games?
No.
All right, well then, our next piece of news here is we have word that Naruto Online will be debuting in the West on July 20th for PC. This is, of course, a mobile social-style game for PC. It's browser-based, JRPG-style, like team combat, some cute 2D art, some really great CGI, or computer graphics work. Overall, you know, I haven't heard a whole lot of gameplay impressions, but it looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, especially for a browser game, you know, sometimes this can be of varying quality, so...
Yeah, fingers crossed on this one. Sulker, do you have any interest in playing Naruto Online?
I mean, definitely, yes. I'm looking at the artwork for the game right now, and I'm just going to say that this will probably be something I'm going to have to fight myself to not play at work.
Oh, boy.
Right? We also have word here of a new hero for Overwatch. This is Anna, and she is a support sniper.
And she's Farrah's mom.
She could also be my mom because get it, girl.
Whoa.
Yes, queen.
She got that MILF money.
Oh, wow. We also have word here coming out of Universal Studios Japan, revealing new details about the upcoming Nintendo section. And Slaggy, would you like to talk about this? I know that you had a lot of feelings about it earlier today.
Well, yeah, just because we have no confirmation that it's coming to Universal Studios Hollywood, but no, I'm really excited about this because Universal Studios Japan was talking to Manichi Shibun, and they said the new Mario area is intended to be larger and like a larger scope than the Harry Potter section.
That's wild because, you know, of course, as an IP, the Nintendo world sort of does have the strength comparable to a Harry Potter type situation, but I think a lot of us who are very gaming focused typically, you know, sort of look at Nintendo as an also-ran in some ways with regard to these kinds of really forward-thinking initiatives. So, for me at least, I was surprised to hear that it's going to be such a big part of the Universal Studios experience moving forward.
Right, and Mario is definitely confirmed, obviously, but also many, quote, many IPs are being considered for the Nintendo area, and it will be opened by the 2020 Olympics, which I didn't even realize. I guess they're in Tokyo?
Oh, are they? I hadn't realized.
I'm assuming.
Okay, so when you say many IPs then, do we just mean Pokemon again? Because that's going to cover a lot.
I mean, we basically just need Poke Park Wii, but except not Poke Park Wii.
All right.
That game was not really that good.
Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, we'll see some Star Fox and some F-Zero and some Metroid.
No Zelda.
I mean, of course there will be. I was going to make a joke about how they have to do something with that IP if they're not
making
games.
They should
have
like a little Animal Crossing children's play area.
I think they should just go all in and do a Smash Brothers kind of thing where we'll get all of our things under one umbrella.
You know, that actually makes the most sense, and they could use the Smash theming, you know, the trophies and toys, in order to make it really cohesive very easily. That's a great idea.
Or it will just be Nintendo Land and there'll be like Monita.
I would still be so into that. All right, well,
also, Tokyo is the home of the 2020 Olympics, apparently.
Excellent. That's rad.
So Sonic and Mario are going to be heading there in a few years.
Yeah, right? That'll be wild. So we have one last follow-up here, and this is news that a lot of people's very favorite Neo Geo fighting game is coming to the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita.
Wait, World Heroes Perfect is coming to the PS4 and Vita?
You and World Heroes Perfect, I swear, you're that game's only fan, Slagkick. No, I'm talking, of course, about Goro, Mark of the Wolves. This is the sort of like a Fatal Fury, the next generation type game. Well known for its super tight gameplay and fantastic art style. So that'll be coming to PlayStation Vita and PlayStation 4 soon. We do not yet have a release date, but as soon as we get one, you know you will be hearing it from us.
Please look forward to it.
And speaking of release dates, we have a couple of them for you about games we've talked about recently.
Mobius Final Fantasy, the smartphone RPG, is coming to the West on August 3rd for Android and iOS.
Awesome. We also have word that Earth Defense Force 4.1 will be heading to PC on July 18th. That's tomorrow.
Oh, that is tomorrow. Well, on the time of recording this.
SD Gundam G-Generation Genesis will be releasing in Japan on November 22nd. And the PS3 version that was previously announced has been canceled.
Oh, poop.
It will be releasing only for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita.
And Shantae Half Genie Hero is slated for release on September 27th.
Oh, that's great. I feel like we've been waiting for this game for a long time. Of course, WayForward has stated, you know, last minute issues could arise. This could end up getting pushed back further, but at this time, it looks like we'll be finally playing Shantae in September.
Shantae, you stay.
Yes, queen.
So I think it must be time for
news. 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 Oh my god. News.
Oh my god.
News?
Oh, this first one is one that I've seen, like, you know, speaking of Pokemon Go being, like, you know, something that is appealing to a wide variety of people, this is something else that I've seen a lot of people who aren't even, like, maybe usually gamers. I mean, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but...
So, casuals and lapsed.
Yes. Although casual sounds like, oh, filthy casuals.
No, there's no part of me that is using casual as a pejorative.
More casual gamers are very excited about this, and this is, of course, the NES Classic Edition. It's in the vein of those cute little plug-and-play devices that have games built in, but this is an NES, and it is designed to look like a little baby NES that fits in the palm of your hand.
I've actually had several coworkers just message me at random, because I'm kind of the office gamer person, and they all just have lost their shit over this item. Personally, I'm looking forward to playing Bubble Bobble again, because that game is the shit!
Well, and that really, you know, the really cool thing here, as Sidekick mentions, you know, it's really cute. Like, I find it very aesthetically appealing as a collectible, but it has 30 games on it. You know, they're not all just first party games. We're actually getting like Balloon Fight, which is of course for first party, but also Bubble Bobble, Castlevania, Castlevania 2, Double Dragon 2, Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghosts and Goblins, Gradius, Mega Man 2, Ninja Gaiden, Pac-Man, Super C, which, you know, is the Contra sequel, Tecmo Bowl. So I think the thing that a lot of people are surprised about is that while it does have all the standbys, you know, the Zelda games, the Mario games, Kid Icarus, Donkey Kong,
Kirby's Adventure,
Kirby, it has also like the real golden oldies of the NES era from third parties. Like that inclusion of Mega Man 2 alone, I think means a lot of people are going to pick this thing up. And, you know, it's hitting with 30 titles at a $60 price point on November 11th. So, you know, for a lot of people, they're looking at this now as like, this is a really cheap way to like get into a virtual console type experience.
Yeah, especially if you only, you know, really want a handful. I say handful, but I mean 30 games and 30 pretty great games. You know, for a lot of people, that's probably going to hit the spot. And, you know, if you were to buy all of these on virtual console, you'd be paying a lot more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're effectively paying $2 per game. It's like a savings of $3 per game. It's pretty wild.
And you get a cute little NES box for free, basically.
Yeah, right. And, you know, the controllers it uses are they are wired controllers compatible with the classic controller format that's been used by Nintendo since the Wii era. So if you want to have two players, you can either buy another NES replica controller, or you could just use the classic controllers you already have.
And presumably you can use this like hooked up to a Wiimote, right? I mean, I haven't heard anything
the
definitive.
One that comes with it, yes. It will function as a classic controller. So to me, it's a win-win all around.
It's a cute all around.
All right. We also have word here that a Splatoon concert was held in Japan by the Squid Sisters, Callie and Marie.
Yes, queens!
Yes, come through. And something really exciting about this concert, which happened in Japan recently, is that it is already on YouTube, officially streaming in its entirety, courtesy of Nintendo France, I believe?
Yeah.
Excellent. That's really cool.
And in news that ties into Pokemon Go and our discussion today and the launch of Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, we have seen Nintendo's biggest stock jump since 1983.
Holy moly.
Isn't that a Taylor Swift record?
You mean 1989, but...
I'm pretty sure it's 1983. You were telling me that yesterday.
Yeah, so this is... It's crazy. You know, the engagement with this app is greater in North America than even, like, stuff... Apps like Tinder, apps like Twitter. This Pokemon Go thing is at this point, like, a certified phenomena. And it's not even out worldwide yet. It only released in Canada, like, 2 hours ago. So, you know, funny enough, servers were down for a good minute this morning. But, like, this game hasn't even launched in Japan yet, so we have not heard the end of these stories.
Indeed.
With all that having been said, though, we do have a couple of controversial news pieces and a smash hit for you before we get to the discussion.
Controversial.
Oh my god.
So, Slaggy, if you would like to take this first piece of controversial news.
Yeah, so people, well, I guess some people were excited because there was a cover art of Final Fantasy 13 for Xbox One. But this apparently is going to be used for a cloud-based streaming version by Ubitus, which is in China. So that's partly controversial because, you know, it's not really a backwards compatibility announcement ish thing that people were hoping, and then just controversial because it's Final Fantasy 13 and most people fucking hate that game. I'm not one of them, but you know, a lot of people do not like it.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of a bummer for me. When I first saw that this art file of the Final Fantasy 13 Xbox One version was found on Microsoft servers, I was very excited. I'm actually really disappointed now to hear that it will unfortunately only be referring to the streaming version that won't even be streaming in our part of the world. So I'm kind of bummed about that. Sulker, do you have anything on that?
I mean, not owning an X-Bone, I can't say that I'm super excited. Well, was part of the group that was super excited to play this game in this fashion. But, well, it's going to remain business as usual for me. I don't have any hate for the game, but I've never actually experienced it. Though I know that you will probably make that change in my future.
Someday. We also have an article here, and this is an interesting one because it's one where I feel like I might actually not be on the same page as a lot of other gamers. The religious statesman and president of the Universal Society of Hinduism, Rahan Zed, released a statement earlier this week, possibly today actually, now that I am looking at this. Oh, this is yesterday, my bad. Urging Blizzard Activision, or Activision Blizzard, to remove an Overwatch skin that he says trivializes Hinduism's highly revered goddesses. And this is, of course, Symmetra. She has a couple of skins, Devi and Goddess, which a lot of people have noted really borrows a lot of design cues from, you know, sort of the deities of Hinduism. And this is one of those things where the first time I saw it, I was like, fashion, yes, queen, you look so good. But then I thought about it, like, you can cap this avatar in the head. I don't really know that I think that's entirely appropriate.
Yeah,
so
I see where they're coming from.
I see both sides because it is a really boss design. I totally get why Activision Blizzard included it. It's a great design, but, you know, at the same time, I can see how someone who really has strong religious beliefs would be upset to see this character get capped in the head, and I don't know that I can fault them that.
I mean, if we're going down the religious route, I think that Blizzard should put out a Jesus outfit for McCree. I think that that would kind of contextualize it for Western gamers, and kind of make a sexy Jesus thing happen.
That is an interesting take, you know, rather than step back to sort of fix the situation for one group, rather just, you know, start doing it to all groups. And that's an interesting take and one that I would personally support, but I feel like we're going to see Blizzard. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Blizzard cave on this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they react because this happened a few years ago with the same gentleman with Smite. And I believe, I mean, I don't play Smite, but I believe they did not.
Well, the whole goal behind Smite is really to be about various gods and pantheons of gods fighting. So I think they took that as like, we're doing our job right.
I suppose.
One thing that I'll say from like an in-game perspective that would bother me if I had these particular skins, if they remove them from the game, I would feel like Blizzard would need to give me something to replace them. Just because I know people get really butthurt about having their unlockables.
Oh, absolutely.
I spent 1,000 coins for that skin.
Well, and I don't think they would outright remove it unless they were replacing it with something else. And if they could find something to replace it with that wasn't problematic, I would support that.
Indeed.
Maybe like a gem in the hologram skin for her or something.
That'd be truly outrageous.
I would be more into dressing like Kesha or one of the other misfits.
Only if the bad acting is included.
All right. Well, then that's about it for our controversial pieces this week. But we do have a smash hit for you. This one comes courtesy of GamesIndustry.biz. And this is a piece about Robert Yang. You might be familiar with his recent Steam release, Radiator 2, which is a series of three games that sort of deal with out of context, like sexualized gay gameplay. It's a very interesting suite of software. I know that I've shown it to Sulker previously. Slykick, I don't know are you familiar with the Radiator games?
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with Robert Yang's work.
Excellent. So basically the big kerfuffle here right now is that Twitch has unilaterally banned streaming on its service of any of the Radiator games, they won't talk to him about the hows or whys, nor is it their policy to do so typically. But the issue is that there's nothing overtly sexual per se in the game. There's a lot of very suggestive things in the game, but when you consider that Twitch has at various times allowed streaming of various eroge, you know, games that have straight up open sexualization, including, you know, full frontal nudity in some cases, it becomes a really interesting question about why this this set of games, which were not actually like sex games, but rather almost like homoerotic games.
Yeah, one of them is about pleasuring a car stick shift.
Yeah, by like shifting at the right times while it's in the hot zone. And it's a really interesting challenge, and it's presented in a way that is definitely homoerotic, but there's definitely nothing explicit about it. I literally can't understand why you wouldn't allow someone to stream this, other than like gay fear, frankly.
I'd probably agree with you there, because even like the BDSM segment that happens in the game, there's nothing super like out of the ordinary in that way, I think. And I feel like it's a game that's trying to teach you about like how to work with your partner, and since it's a gay context, we don't want that streaming out where the normative can see that.
It's definitely how it feels. So this piece, though, you know, it has a lot of quotes directly from Mr. Yang, and I wholeheartedly highly recommend you check it out. I think it's a great read. Talks a little bit about how, you know, it's had a little bit of a negative effect on him personally as well to have to go through this. So definitely a worthwhile read, one I hope you check
out. Yeah, and then one of the other ones in the Radiator 2 is basically an interactive music video where the sexy guy from the Rinse and Repeat game, which is the hunky shower simulator, which is not Shower with Your Dad simulator, but where he's looking on a lollipop. So, I mean, it's suggestive, but I mean, it's very... I mean, I wonder if Hurt Me Plenty, the BDSM one, is really the one that kind of set them off. I don't know.
My problem is, I get that the main gameplay mechanic is shaking someone's hand and then slapping their ass, but, like, it's not, like, presented in any kind of graphic way. Like, I just don't... I feel like this is basically them, like, shooting down sexuality, which I suppose is fine if you're going to be consistent across the board, but I've never seen God of War get banned on Twitch, and it has straight up, like, boobs and nipples and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like Witcher 3 has that, and a flash of peen. Obviously, you know, The Order had peen flashed in it. These are all fine, so why is this game that isn't explicit but only suggestive so verboten?
Yeah.
Definitely reeks with some pretty gross stuff, and I wholeheartedly recommend you read up on it. So, all right, with all that having been said, it is time for our discussion.
Yo, dog, we heard you like podcasts, so we put a podcast in your podcast so you can listen to a podcast while you listen to a podcast.
Ahoy, trainers! Welcome to the Same Type Attack Bonus podcast. Stabcast for short. Your twice monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. I'm your host, Trainer Spike, and with me as always are my fellow trainers, Slagkick,
Pikachu,
and Sulker.
You're not wearing shorts. What's wrong with you?
Today is July 17th, 2016, and this is episode 1. Stabcast episode 1. Game Buoy Video Game Podcast episode 116. You can't stop here. This is Zubat Country, a Game Boy spotlight on Pokemon Go. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to the first episode of our new venture into the world of Pokemon, which is another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, which is perfect as we're discussing the world of Pokemon's first venture into our actual world.
Wait, but what about all of those Pidgeotos I've been seeing, like, for the past 20 years?
That's just your psychosis, friend. Just your psychosis.
So we do have some news for you here this week, but I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about our mission statement and then talk about who we are, in case you're not familiar with us through any of our other podcast work.
Well, our mission statement is to be the very best like no one ever was, to catch them as our real test, and to train them as our cause.
All right, well, our actual mission statement is to be a twice-monthly look into the deeper world of Pokemon. You know, it's a big deal, a big kerfuffle right now, Pokemon Go, everyone's talking about it, but we want to focus on after this week. We are going to talk about Pokemon Go this week. We're probably going to talk a little bit about it every week, especially as updates happen, new mons are found. But sort of our real goal here is to shine a light on sort of some of the topics of Pokemon that get unexplored in conversation that's a little more casual. We want to talk about stuff like EVs and IVs. We want to talk about properly utilizing STAB in-game.
But also EVs and Ivysaurs.
And yes. We definitely want to talk about the current goings-on in the anime, in the card game, for for sure. So, you know, we really want to bring you a complete look at Pokemon. This is something that I know all three of us are very passionate about. I know because I hang out with these two more than anyone else in the world, and half of our time is spent talking about Pokemon.
And the other half is basically playing Pokemon.
And Smash Brothers, so...
But playing Pokemon in Smash Brothers.
Well, yes.
So long as they're blue Pokemon.
So, all right. Well, let's start with Slaggy. I'd like to hear what your main vector of enjoyment is in with regard to the Pokemon franchise. I'd like to know how you came into the fandom, and I'd like to know about how you engage in the fandom now.
I mean, I think that those who listen to Game Buoy probably wouldn't be surprised that my main vector of Pokemon enjoyment is the handheld games, the, you know, Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, up all the way up to, you know, now the upcoming Sun and Moon. Every generation, you know, I'm always there, and it's always the same fun experience every time. I think they're fun little RPGs, and I just, even though, you know, maybe they only iterate a little bit each time and don't quite make like a Super Mario Sunshine to Super Mario Galaxy type leap in game design, you know, they're still fun. They're like, I can always count on whenever a new generation hits having fun and seeing what the new Pokemon are and trying to come up with a team, and you know, so I'm obviously very excited about Sun and Moon. As far as how I came to the fandom, I did not have a lot of friends, obviously.
So business as usual.
Rude. But in middle school, you know, middle school is always like terrible.
True.
But you know, towards the end of middle school, I found a good group of friends who, you know, I pretty much mostly stayed, you know, in touch with up through, you know, out my high school experience. And so they were really getting into Pokemon. So they kind of introduced me to it. And so I ended up picking up Pokemon Yellow and started watching the anime on syndication. So it was before it even leapt over to the kids WB. And so from there, you know, we ended up skipping class one day to go see the Pokemon movie. And when it came out, we played the trading card game a lot. And so, you know, it was pretty big, even though it wasn't a very cool thing to be doing as a, you know, eighth grader or ninth grader. You know, it definitely was kind of like a secret passion. But, you know, these days, you know, I'm still mostly focused on the games, you know, particularly the handheld games. But I feel like, you know, having, you know, met people like the two of you who are also as passionate about the game as I am, and just, you know, knowing a lot of nerdy people and, you know, connecting with people like our listeners, like, it's not something that I would be talking about, you know, at my workplace particularly, but, you know, definitely having people to engage with it and not have to be like, oh, I'm secretly super into Pokemon and I dream of being a Pokemon master, you know, like it was when I was a kid. So, I say that's how I engage it now, and I'm really trying to, you know, and that's why I'm excited about this podcast, is I'm really trying to, you know, get back into the anime and the trading card game. So that would be my engagement.
Rock! Sulker, what about you?
I'm sorry, what was the question again? I'm kidding. I'm looking at the same thing you guys are. The way that I got into the fandom is, I very specifically remember when Pokemon was originally coming out. I was not super interested in it because, you know, I was in high school and I was getting to that phase where it's like, oh, kid things aren't cool or whatever. And then, as was often my case at that age, I got sick and stayed home one day, and ended up seeing the first episode of Pokemon as it was, I think it was like the first time they reran, Pokemon I Choose You, and just being like, holy shit, if that's what this game is about, I'm going to go and play that now. 2 days later, I owned my first copy of Pokemon Red, and then it was just kind of history from there. I've followed along through pretty much every generation of the game, so I suppose my main vector of enjoyment is through the game, as the anime doesn't really hit high points for me very often, since it's very formulaic and follows the same, like, they meet a person who's having a problem with a Pokemon.
How is Ash still 10 years old? That's what I want to know.
He's in a coma. This is all his fever dream.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. I love that theory. I think it's my running theory for Pokemon. So one of my probably favorite vectors to enjoy the game within the game itself is Ivy and Eevee training. My former roommate, Dark Shifter, would kind of be doing it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and days on end until I finally took an interest in it and then got obsessed one summer. So I can't wait for Sun and Moon to come out so that I can get through the meta and then, or get through the story and then get into the meta. And I engage with it now through Pokemon Go every day of my life.
Excellent, excellent. So my main vector of enjoyment in Pokemon is probably the core games. I also really enjoy a lot of the spin-off games. I get really into like the mystery dungeon games. You know, I also play the card game. I still play it. I still, you know, actively buy cards and everything. So for me, it's primarily about the cards and the core game. I also really like watching the Pokemon movies, so that's something I've been really enjoying, especially in the last year. I just watched the Hoopa movie the other day. It's pretty good. If you guys haven't seen it, it's not bad. Except, weirdly, in preparation for this episode, Slykick and I were watching the beginning of the X and Y series, and I felt like the X and Y TV series, has phenomenal animation.
It really does.
But, like, I actually thought it looked better than the Hoopa movie looked.
Wow.
You know, I will agree with you there. I have watched probably like the first 10 episodes of XY. Thanks Netflix for that. And a lot of boredom. But I really do enjoy what I have watched of it. So I'm probably just going to wait for you guys to catch up to where I am and then jump in on those viewing sessions.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, I came to the fandom. I was a huge gaming nerd in high school. When I heard word that, you know, the hot thing in Japan was Pocket Monsters, I was following it. I was, you know, at this point, I wasn't really importing games, although my first game import did turn out to be Pokemon Yellow, but that was after Pokemon
Proper. My first import was Green.
After Pokemon Proper did start releasing in North America. You know, in the run-up to Pokemon releasing here, Nintendo Power was running a ton of Pokemon coverage for months and months, like hardcore. So I, you know, I got the game pre-ordered. I watched the anime as soon as it started running here in syndication before the game even came out here. For like about a month, I want to say, we had the animation without the game being available. You know, at that point, I even had a computer that I was playing like untranslated Japanese ROMs of the Pokemon games on, which is something my buddy Amanda still likes to talk about at gatherings. So, you know, I've been in it since the beginning and I've never gotten out of it. Pokemon is life. I am really passionate about this stuff. I've been collecting Pokemon like merchandise and plushies.
There's literally
this entire time. Like, I've never stopped buying Pokemon and being into Pokemon, enjoying Pokemon. If you were to look around in the Game Buoy studio where we're recording today, you can see Pokemon plushies everywhere.
Yeah, literally there's
see old like completely like vintage like Pokemon pencil toppers that I actually bought in like 97 or 98 or whatever. You know, I have stuff like Palkia, you know, stylus, limited edition styluses hanging out. Like I love Pokemon so much.
And Pikachu from Build-A-Bear Workshop is literally watching us record right now.
There is that. So, and you know, in a way that might be how I engage with Pokemon. I play all of the games when they come out, even these spin-offs. I still actively buy it. I still buy cards all the time. So I actively engage in Pokemon by doing it all. So that is, you know, that's us. This is our show. Thank you so much for listening. And let's move on to some news. Slaggy, do you want to get us started?
Yeah, so we finally got the new reveal of the new Pokemon coming to the arcade version of Pokken Tournament. That is Darkrai. This will be coming on the big summer update on July 20th, which will also add Garchomp, Braixian, and Shadow Mewtwo, which were previously Wii U exclusives.
Yep, as well as the previously Wii U exclusive stages. So for those of you playing Pokemon Tournament, this is there's a lot here to look forward to, and hopefully we will see Darkrai in the home version soon.
Let's hope, because it looks really cool.
Do you guys think that'll be something that Nintendo like charges for, like with, say, like adding Smash Brothers characters to the console game?
Normally, I would vote yes, except in the case of Pokken Tournament, it wasn't as well received as I think Nintendo would have liked. I think having a free update would do a lot of goodwill for the game that I think Nintendo needs.
And they originally said they weren't going to add much to it.
Well,
they had planned to not have, like, DLC.
They had said they didn't plan on having DLC, but, you know, they said something similar about Mario Maker, and we've seen a lot of new content added to Mario Maker in free updates.
Yeah.
So maybe that's going to be the model they follow for Pokken Tournament.
That'd be good.
Our second piece of news today is two new Pokemon have been revealed, and the internet kind of exploded by how cute and strange they are. First, we have what is probably going to be my new favorite ghost-type Pokemon. I'm gonna mess this name up. Mimikyu?
Nope, that's perfectly right.
Which is basically a ghost-type that wears a ghost Pikachu outfit. Whether or not it'll have other Pokemon outfits, I can only pray because I want a Growlithe one for him so bad. Which hopefully would have some kind of in-game mechanic, like, oh, if he's wearing this costume, he's Lightning.
Like, almost like the Pikachu cosplay.
Yeah, something like that. And then we also got the normal fighting-type Pokemon, Kitirguma? Someone say that who can speak Japanese.
Kitirguma.
And he likes to hug trainers, apparently.
Death hug.
Yeah, because it is a massive bear-looking thing, so assume that it tries to crush people. And I should have mentioned that Mimikyu is a ghost and fairy type.
That's gonna be great.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to see what kind of shenanigans we can pull with that in game.
Yeah, absolutely. That is gonna be so strong. It's obviously adorable as heck. I'm really excited about both of these Pokemon. I love that they're like really sort of non-traditional takes on Pokemon designs. What do you guys think about them?
I really like them. I mean, Mimikyu is adorable. I need a plush right now, especially if it's like kind of like a fabric-y instead of, you know, your traditional plush. But anyway, you know, the thing that I really like is that, you know, with Sun and Moon, I was expecting, once we heard about Alola and the setting, that a lot of them would be, you know, very tropical. I like that not everything is going that route. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, if they have evolutions or, you know, really just seeing like what else there are. And also, a lot of people don't seem to be talking about that Kitiruguma seems to be kind of like a red panda too, because he has a little raccoon tail almost. So he's kind of like a little red panda, a big red panda, really.
An adorable big red panda. That will definitely end up on my team.
Yes. And last, but certainly not least, we also have word here from Korokoro Magazine that their next issue, that is the issue that we'll be releasing on August 12th, will include a Southern Island Alola guide, which is meant to have a ton of information on the starting steps of your next Pokemon journey. So ooh. I would say expect to have a huge information blowout early next month.
I hope there's going to be a centerfold of Professor Kukui.
I mean, you're basically speaking the internet's full desire, because I think there's not a single person that doesn't want that.
Yeah, I would definitely be into it. Clearly, both of y'all would too. Do you have anything else before we start digging into Pokemon Go a little bit?
Let's Pokemon Go.
All right, well, in order to talk about Pokemon Go properly, we need to start by talking about Niantic.
Which is not a Pokemon, surprisingly.
Yeah, surprisingly. So I'm going to talk about Niantic for a minute here. Obviously, if you guys have any comments, anything to add, please, please, please feel free to do so.
No, I mean, I don't have any Ingress experience, so I defer to you.
All right. Well, the company Niantic was formed initially in 2010 by Keyhole Inc. founder John Hanke. You know, it was formed as Niantic Labs. It was an internal startup at Google. It was spun out of Google as an independent entity in late 2015, right around the time that Pokemon Go was originally shown to the world. The company takes its name from the whaling vessel Niantic, which came to San Francisco during the Gold Rush. And, you know, that actually, it ties into that, that whole thing sort of ties into their previous very, very popular app, Ingress. I was an Ingress player for a time. It was, you know, it's fun. It wasn't Pokemon Go, which I vastly prefer. prefer. It was a little bit more of a more depth to it, a lot more focused on like straight up like PvP aspects, in terms of like you couldn't really get a whole lot done if you weren't willing to actively like fight people for spaces in game. And for me, that was a little bit of a turnoff, which I think is why I like Pokemon Go so much.
So
do either
like
of you
gems,
have Ingress?
Then?
Do either of you have Ingress experience?
I did play Ingress a little bit. I came pretty late to the game. I want to say like 2-3 years back when I was still living in San Francisco proper. There was a portal basically across the street from my house. So it was okay to always kind of play there, but I was always underleveled, overclassed. And so it was just kind of a, well, I'm out and I'm walking. I guess I'll play this for a little bit and then promptly forget about it for another 2 months.
Fair. Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, I know that a lot of people, particularly Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, I would hear
Big
him
ups.
Talking about
they
it.
They also started a Pokemon podcast recently.
Yeah.
It's called PokeStop. As far as I know, it's going to be pretty Pokemon Go centric. So in addition to listening to us, you should also be listening to them.
Indeed. So, I mean, I was definitely familiar with it. I thought, oh, it's a cool concept, but something, especially that, you know, from what I understand of Ingress, it seems more, a little bit more like the gym battles, basically, in a way, like, you know, capturing the points and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
that's
I
the
mean,
core mechanic of Ingress, yeah.
And as we're going to talk about, one of the things that I really love about Pokemon Go is the collecting. So I mean, maybe there is some collectible element in Ingress, but
not so much.
Yeah.
Does anyone know how Ingress is doing since Pokemon Go launched? I'm just curious what it's done to their login amounts.
You know, I haven't seen any information on that yet, but I'm hopeful that we will start hearing about it probably via Games Industry or maybe Gamma Sutra in the next few weeks. And that's definitely something we will look into and update on here on Stabcast. So getting back to Niantic, their first product that they actually released was in 2012. It was called Field Trip, and it was a location-based mobile app, not really a game per se, but it was almost like an interactive tour guide. If you were around like famous spots, it would tell you like, oh, be sure to check this out. Be sure to do this.
That's cool.
You know, really cool tech, actually.
Really kind of setting the stage for where we've come.
Well, right. And so, you know, they released Ingress in November 2012 in beta as an invite-only app for Android. They opened it up to the public in late 2013, made an iOS version available in mid-2014. And that's actually around when I got into it. So, you know, that was sort of where my entry point to Ingress was. They also have a announced a mobile game titled Endgame. It's supposed to be like a transmedia storytelling product called Endgame. As far as I know, it hasn't come out yet, even though some of the other James Frey Endgame stuff, I think, maybe has. Just not the actual core Endgame hasn't released. So, you know, interesting stuff there. Something funny about Niantic that's really worth discussing here, because this ties in a little bit to Pokemon Go, is that they've sort of always taken an alternative approach to monetization. So, you know, they don't really do things like in-game ad placements. Typically, they haven't done a whole lot with, like, in-app purchases. Up until their split from Google proper in late 2015, they actually didn't have any of the in-game purchases in any of their games. But after the split, they did introduce in-game purchases to Ingress. You could get, like, the various supplies and portal jammers and what have you in the, you know, in-game shop. And we actually do see that kind of monetization present in PokeGo. So PokeGo was announced in September 2015, and they were announced as the sole developers in partnership with Nintendo and the Pokemon Company. We got word the following month that, you know, they were splitting from Google, but that Google, Nintendo, and the Pokemon Company would be investing $30 million into the company to support the growth of the company and its products.
That's a lot of money.
You know, there are a lot of people that feel, because, you know, we do in fact know that the game concept was actually conceived by Satoru Iwata-san and Tsunekazu Ishihara-san of the Pokemon Company due to their collaboration with Google for April Fool's Day a few years ago, titled The Pokemon Challenge. And, you know, there are a lot of people who feel that the reason Niantic had to split from Google was likely so that they could work with the Nintendo IP, because Nintendo traditionally doesn't work with their IP IP with outside developers to this degree, you know, without having a stake in the company. And we've seen that time and time again on Nintendo's side. Obviously, they're not buying a chunk of Google, so... And, you know, it's speculative, but it does track with what we know of Nintendo. That's why, you know, to me, it's really interesting. We had, you know, a kerfuffle with Pokego, having access to your Google account or what have you. You just need to remember, you know, Google is funneling millions of dollars into Niantic along with Nintendo and the Pokemon Company, which the Pokemon Company largely is still Nintendo. So, you know, it's taking a lot of this money, but Google is still very much at play here with Niantic, despite the fact that on paper they have split up. So, you know, that's a, I think, really interesting angle to keep in mind here when we talk about Pokego, is that it is still a very collaborative product. Nintendo is still very involved. Google is still very involved. You know, I've seen a lot of people like, oh, Nintendo and Google have nothing to do with this. It's Niantic. Like, okay, well, I can tell you about $30 million that completely disagree with you.
Are they going to have to be disagreeing $1 at a time? I disagree.
I mean, if we could just stop for a second and talk about the whole kerfuffle with the Google accessing your personal information. I know I had a lot of coworkers who were very turned off when they realized what that could possibly mean. I know that there was never any substantialized, like, they are digging into your data to, like, find out everything about every website you ever visited. I mean, not that Google couldn't do that on its own.
Right.
But I am happy that they did acknowledge that that was just some kind of error on their part as far as phrasing goes, and then even re-upped to, like, when you log in now, if you haven't had a logout in a long time, it'll actually show you what information is now being requested, which is basically screen name and email account.
That's awesome. And I agree. That's a really positive change. And, you know, I thought this whole kerfuffle was overblown. But, you know, I also come from, I played Ingress. I know for a fact, like, Google, Niantic Labs is Google. Even if they're now, you know, even if there's now a crowbar separation, it's still just a crowbar separation. So, I don't know. I was never too worried about
it. It was not an ugly divorce or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still...
It's a child is
Google's
out on
Google's hands
their...
are still in the pie here.
It's a child going out in the world now that they have become a successful adult.
I trust Google with my Google account, ergo, I trust Niantic with my Google account.
Or I guess you could say that they are, I mean, even though I guess they're not quite, you know, 10 years old, they are a 10-year-old going out to start their Pokemon adventure on their own without their parent. I tried.
Yeah, tried is the word.
You know, one of the things that I really love about the formation and the development of Pokemon Go is, they were even talking about this at E3 on the Treehouse stream when they were talking about Pokemon Go is that Tsunekazu Ishihara-san was a huge, and it is a huge, Ingress player, and I think his wife too, like, he and his wife are, like, super, you know, huge into Ingress. And so I've talked to a lot of people who are like, oh, that just seems like a really weird combination, but, you know, definitely Ishihara-san and the late great Iwata-san, you know, definitely saw the potential with what Ingress was accomplishing.
Indeed. And, you know, something else I really like about Pokego, it has, like, a original music and stuff in it, and that was all actually written by longtime Pokemon series composer Junichi Masuda-san, who obviously is also one of the main game designers credited for the series. So, the thing that's really cool to me about it is, basically you have Ishihara-san, who is a huge Ingress player, saw the potential to make a Pokemon game out of this, but they didn't just make Ingress with a Pokemon skin. It is a real Pokemon game. A friend of mine who's into the deep lore of Pokemon, and, you know, he'll probably guest here at some point, was talking to me about specifically, like, how the various musical motifs that occur in the other games also occur here, and that it, you know, really sort of ties the deep lore of the Pokemon world into Pokemon Go still. And I think that's really fascinating. I'm very interested in that. Do either of you guys get into Pokemon deep lore? The stuff with, like, the alternate dimensions of Hoopa and time travel and all that? All of the information dating back to, like, the first Pokemon World War, you know, stuff like the various ghost kids and what have you.
Not super into the deep lore. I kind of only follow what happens in a particular game, and I know I should get better about that, especially now being on a podcast about this game. I probably will throw myself in wholeheartedly to, like, researching the world, the backstory of every world. In XY, when they talk about the Pokemon War, and that whole scenario at the end with the what's the little dancing flower fairy thing?
Flabébé.
Yeah, Flabébé and its owner. I was playing that during what is the name of the charity I do every year?
Extra Life?
Yeah, Extra Life. During Extra Life 2 years ago, and I was nearly brought to tears and had to choke it back so that my friends wouldn't be like, why is Sulker just crying all of a sudden?
But yeah, no, I actually thought the story of XY was fantastic.
Why are you crying, Pokemon?
And, you know, again, you know, the deep lore of Pokemon is something I find fascinating. The idea that there's this sort of meta story that has existed since Generation 1 and that we only learn about a little bit through every game is really fascinating because, you know, you think, oh, Pokemon deep lore, LOL, but it actually does all track and it all continues to track. It's to the point now where the Pokemon deep lore people have to be onto something. So it's a whole very interesting take on sort of the Poke fandom to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially with things like the Delta episode of Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire definitely is like, oh, this is bigger than just, you know, traveling across the land, searching far and wide. And, you know, even things with, like, Arceus and being, like, the Pokemon god, you know, like...
If you've actually looked into, like, well, and I've done this once on accident when I was trying to quote-unquote work, there was, like, a post some time ago about, like, all of the Pokemon and how they descended into the various types, starting with, like, Arceus and then going into, like, the legendaries and how they made all of the other Pokemon that populate the entire world. It's interesting. I'm going to have to look more into that, and maybe we can talk further on that at a later episode.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating.
Sure enough. All right, well then let's wrap up the history of PokéGo and Niantic. Obviously, PokéGo released on July 6th in North America.
Has it only been 11 days?
Right? Actually, specifically the U.S., not North America, because, you know, Canada only just got it today, for example. It also released in Australia and New Zealand on July 6th. Supposedly, at some point, we will be getting the Pokemon Go Plus. We still haven't gotten an update on that since the release of the actual game. But, you know, slowly but surely, every few days, Niantic is releasing the game to other regions. It's available in parts of Europe now, parts of Africa. So things are getting better. Still not available in Japan, though. So we have not even seen really where, you know, the full heights of what Pokemon Go is going to achieve, I think. Because I think PokéGo is going to be huge in Japan. They like AR games. They like mobile games. They love Pokemon. This, to me, is going to be bigger there than it is here. And here we already have, what, more than 15 million users in the US?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
I mean, I can just imagine there's going to be pictures of, like, the streets of Akihabara packed, like, body to body.
Oh, yeah. Akiba is going to be a mess. Like, all of Tokyo is going to be a mess. It's going to be wild, dude. It's going to be so cool.
I mean, we've seen a lot happening in the States with just reports and reports of people playing this
like
game.
Like, Central Park.
Central Park, Golden Gate Park, and just, like, everywhere in the world, people blaming the game for them getting into accidents as they walk around. To people getting mugged playing the game, to people finding dead bodies playing the game, and to people just exploring their own neighborhoods in ways that they've never done before. And that's for a country that doesn't necessarily like to go outside a whole lot.
Yeah, so when you look at a country where people do travel every day, you know, everyone has a commute there practically. You know, gaming is a much more social event. You go to, you know, various cafes. And when Monster Hunter was at its height, you know, it wasn't unusual to go to a cafe and find literally every seat and every table taken by Monhun players looking for groups. I think we're going to see that with PokéGo in Japan, like, to the next level. So I think it's going to be a very interesting time.
Oh, I can only imagine how far Team Mystic, Team Instinct, and Team Valor is going to go in Japan.
Well, but I'd like now to open the floor up a little bit, and I want to start with you, Sulker. I'd really like to hear your experiences on Pokemon Go so far.
So, like everyone here in this room and listening, and, what, 15 million people in our country, I was frantic for this game on launch day. I know that it technically wasn't supposed to be launch day, but like the hundreds of thousands of people that were screaming and craving for it, we were just constantly updating the App Store on, what was that, two Thursdays ago now?
Yeah, right.
And so since then, I've kind of been hardcore about the game, we'll say. Not as hardcore as a lot of people I know.
Well, so when you say hardcore, why don't you tell me a little bit bit about, like, what for you is, you know, most of us refer to these events as poke walks when you go out to do specific poke hunting. Why don't you tell me about what a poke hunt is like for you?
So on the Thursday it released, one of my friends and I, it was probably like 9:30 at night, which for me on a weeknight is I'm going to go and get ready, start winding down for the day. This was not the case with that first Thursday. I got in my car, drove to my friend Seeps's house, picked him up, and we drove around his neighborhood using the Poke Radar to kind of figure out where we could find Pokemon. We were hunting for an Abra for like 20 minutes, watching it get closer and further, and then completely disappearing off the radar, getting logged out of the game for 10, 15 minutes at a time, just due to server issues, coming back into the game, and then finding our first Pokelure over at Lake Merritt in San Francisco, where we sat Lake Merritt is another thing that I actually did yesterday, but with Merced, there was like a car parked there in the middle of the night, and we just pull up next to them and start playing this game, and other cars just started showing up and leaving at various intervals. We found a gym that was like hidden in the forest, so we decided to like get out of the car, and thankfully we had my dog with us so we could take some precautions while on this walk. Attempted to take the gym. We saw that there was that 1 HP issue that was known with the gyms in the first few days.
And so why don't you talk about the 1 HP bug? Our listeners who maybe didn't have the game yet, maybe it wasn't out yet in their territory, explain 1 HP bug.
So the 1 HP bug happened when you would go to a Pokemon gym and attempt to battle it to take down its ownership so that you could claim it for your team. Hashtag Team Instinct. Hashtag Team Instinct, and you would go and beat down their Pokemon to basically one hit point and continue attacking, and it would not change their HP amount. And they could continue to attack you, but you would ultimately lose the gym battle. This has since been an issue that they knew about and have fixed. I don't think I've seen it happen in the last week since the servers have pretty much been regular about being active, with today being the exception, obviously.
Something else I'd be interested in you describing, because I know you've done a lot of the gym stuff. I actually have a very limited gym experience, but, you know, it's not a full-on PvP match, not happening in real time or anything. It's asynchronous. Explain the gym battle mechanic for our listeners who maybe don't have the game yet and are frothing at the bit.
Okay, so the gym system is there are various locations around the world that are called Pokemon gyms. You go to these places, if you capture it as a blank Pokemon gym, meaning there's no team affiliation, you can drop a Pokemon on it and it becomes your gym. It initially starts at level 2, meaning that up to 2 Pokemon can be added to the gym. You can train at the gym using your other Pokemon one at a time to defeat your Pokemon on the gym and raise its subsequent level, which will increase the amount of damage that that particular gym can take, and at each subsequent level will allow for you to add another Pokemon to the gym. Unfortunately, each player can only have one Pokemon at a gym at a time. The benefits of owning a gym, outside of your own personal prestige, is that you can gain coins this way, as well as Stardust. You would go into the shop area of the game, and in the top right-hand corner, you see a little shield that displays a number corresponding to that many gyms that you hold. If you press the button, you gain 10 coins per gym held, and 500 Stardust per gym held.
And you can only do that once a day?
Once every 20 hours is what I've seen the timer restart at when I hit the button. So if you're planning on not playing the game any further or capturing any additional gyms in a day, that is the time to press this button. These coins can be used to buy Pokeballs, lures, eggs, basically anything that the game offers you in the shop. This is important because if you don't want to spend actual money on the game, you don't have to. Personally, I have yet to spend money in the store itself, as I have not beaten that many gyms and collected on them, but it's something that I'm going to look into do as I get into the level 20 area.
Excellent, excellent. All right.
To finish up my talk on my experience pokewalking, which just kind of sounds like a spiritual thing, but okay, yeah, it's definitely a spiritual thing for me. I regularly will walk around my neighborhood with my new puppy for over an hour at a time, trying to figure out where particular Pokemon will spawn, capturing anything that really happens across my path because I need the experience points, I need the Stardust, and I need things to evolve so that I can get more experience. My most recent Pokewalk, I won't talk about the one on Friday, I'll talk about yesterday. We went to Lake Merritt, my friends Doko and Dark Shifter. I met them on the Fairyland side of the...
So we're talking about Oakland now.
Yeah, Pokemon side, the Fairyland side of Lake Merritt.
Which I'm sure we'll have Fairy-type Pokemon one day.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. As I got out of the car, I found my first Dratini and, like, freaked out.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
So anyone who's listening, if you go to Lake Merritt, there's a few key Pokemon you're going to want to watch out for. That's Dratini, Psyduck, and a Onix, which is important in the Bay Area because we don't know of very many spawn points for that particular Pokemon. I want to say we walked for the better part of 2 hours, stopping along the way to hit lures that other trainers had dropped, running into people, and just kind of like not really interacting with them on that particular night. Though on last Thursday, my friend Seeps and I did go to the Beach Chalet, which is over in San Francisco. And that was the most incredible event I've ever seen regarding this game so far. Got there at like 11:30 at night. There were, I want to say, over 200 people with four lures active on four different Pokestops, all like clustered so that if you stood in the middle, you could be constantly activating all of them. People literally cheering for each other as they caught like a Rapidash or found their 400 Magikarp. Well, 100th Magikarp, getting them that 400 candy because that's what it takes to make a Gyarados.
Which Gyarados stats are ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Wait, it takes 400 candies?
Yeah, it takes 400 candies to evolve one Magikarp.
I don't even have one Magikarp yet.
We'll go on a Pokewalk at Lake Merritt, set up a lure, and you'll start getting them. I had maybe, I want to say, 25 candy when we hit the lake yesterday, and I ended over 100.
Wow, that sounds great.
So, wrapping that up, I'll say that my experience has been a strangely interesting reaffirmation in humanity. I feel that people are working together and trying to make the best out of everything. Some people might say make America great again. I want to say make Pokemon great again, which this game has done for me.
That's great. Great. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Sulker. Psychic, what about you? What has your Pokemon Go experience been?
You know, it's interesting because I would say mine is a lot more limited than Sulker's. And you know, I'm a really big Pokemaniac. Although, I mean, I have to say, I think I am outranked here because I've never really gotten too much into like the EV trainings and stuff. So, you know, I feel very lucky that I have people who are bigger, even bigger Pokemaniacs than me here on the show. Something else about me is that I'm a bit of a homebody. But I mean, that being said, I've, you know, tried to start, you know, like walking around my neighborhood a little bit to catch some Pokemon, because the first night I downloaded it, when I finally got it working, I didn't really know what I was doing. I dropped a incense and I managed to get like a Clefairy. It was probably like the best thing I got from that. But you know, I mean, it really took me actually having to go out and you know, actually get out. So I mean, that's been good for me because I, you know, I'm a homebody. I like to stick around at home. But you know, so it's to the point where you know, in the past 11 days, you know, if I, like, for example, I had to go to the bank, and then I was like, oh, there's a Pokestop over at the Mexican restaurant right near the bank. And so I went, you know, I walked over there, and then it was like, oh, there's a Pokestop over at the Chinese restaurant that's near them. So I walked down there. So I did a little loop to get that. And now, like, when I, you know, when I went to the bank again, like, I was like, oh, now I know there's that Pokestop in the mall near me. That's like right down the road from me has like 5 Pokestops. So, you know, instead of just going to like before where I would be like, oh, I need to go to Target to, you know, do some shopping, like I'll go and do a loop of the mall now and be like, oh, I'm going to make sure to walk by and get the Jamba Juice and Elephant Bar Pokestops. And
that's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would still say like comparatively, I'm a lot more casual Just, you know, because I haven't really gone out, like, every day to poke hunt, like, far and wide. But I most notably went on a poke walk with the two of you out at Stern Grove, which is a really cool little foresty type of park. It's not actually not that little. It's a pretty nice sized park. It's in San Francisco, and you know, basically we were like hiking. You know, there was a pretty steep trails up in there, and you know, so we went out and set some lures out and got mostly Zubats, so that was kind of
it was fun though.
No, but it was fun. I was like, especially in this setting, like, you know, walking through, and it was, you know, after dark, so I mean, walking through and being like, you know, basically just surrounded by trees, you know, in this particular setting, I was like, I feel like I am straight up on a Pokemon adventure, like walking through Viridian Forest right now. So I mean, that was kind of a, like, other, not an otherworldly experience, but it really, like, kind of took me into the world of Pokemon.
And, you know, that's absolutely wonderful, and I'm happy that I was able to be there and watch you have this first, like, true Pokewalk experience. I would just like to say to our listeners, though, if you are going to go Pokego at night, and you're walking around in places that you're not familiar with, do like we did with Slidekick, go on a walk with a large group of friends. Safety in numbers is always a thing that I really feel passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, absolutely, like, kind of reacting just to the phenomenon, you know, I mean, I've heard people being like, oh, they're not watching where they're going, you know, like, my thing is that, like, people out there, you know, just use your common sense, be safe, travel in numbers, don't go in, like, sacred spaces, like, you know, the, you know, war memorials and stuff. There's been some complaints, the Holocaust Museum, so, I mean, like, you know, be respectful, but also, you know, there's definitely been some haters out there being like, oh, Poke, get off my lawn. I mean, yeah, you shouldn't be, like, walking on rando people's lawns, but, I mean, I just think the dismissive nature, I'm like, people, like, this is something that is, like, I mean, I've seen every day, like, that I've been out, even if I'm, like, you know, I was, my family came out to visit, and they were on, you know, they took the BART train. When I was driving home from BART, I saw two guys walking out near a little walking trail in that neighborhood with their phones. I'm like, you know, at the malls, I've seen, like, you know, at least a handful of people, you know, looking down at their phones, and, you know, you kind of look at you kind of sneak a peek and see if they're playing Pokemon Go. I mean, it's everywhere, and I mean, it's, I've heard articles about, you know, people who, they're saying it's improving their mental health, you know, kind of encouraging them to get out and go, you know, out.
To some degree, I've even heard you say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, you know, to the degree where I've said, you know, I'm a homebody, and, you know, it's kind of made me go out and get out more, so, yeah. And, I mean, my experience, just to wrap it up, has definitely been more about collecting. I have not done gym battles. I do not really have high-level Pokés, but I just really, I mean, just seeing all my faves from, you know, back in the day, the original 150, and, like, really appreciating that so many of them were cute. Like, even Ekans, and, like, you know, even, like, a Weedle or a Grimer, like, they're all so cute. And I don't know if I would have, like, always thought they were cute, but I'm like, oh, they're so cute. So I think that's wrapping up for me. I have bought some Pokeballs already, so, you know, they've got me with the microtransactions for sure. But I think it's, you know, it's not like you're forced to, you know. I just wanted to, you know, have a good supply of Pokeballs for Pokewalks.
So what I'm hearing is you've had a generally positive experience, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. I look forward to taking you and Spike Point out on more additional walks.
Yeah, I mean, server issues aside, I've just had such a great time with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to linger here too long. I do want to start getting this ball rolling on the rest of the show, but I just have to say, you know, my experience mimic you a lot of the experiences you guys have had, but you know, the big issue for me is I'm not typically someone who talks to, like, new rando people basically at all. I typically keep to myself. I have a train commute. I go, like, an hour each way every day, and I don't usually talk to people I'm commuting with. But my Pokemon Go experience thus far can be summed up with the simple anecdote that Friday before last, I was on the train. There was a whole other group of people playing Pokego, a Golduck popped up, and we all, like, helped each other to, like, get to a point on the train that we were all in range of this Golduck. And in doing so, some of these people I've been commuting with on the same train for, you know, 10 years, and I've never said word one to, I had actual conversations with and became, you know, friendly with. Like, I'll probably now, in the future, anytime I see these people, I have and will continue to, like, hey, how are you doing? Catch any new Pokies lately? And, you know, to me, that is something that no other game has ever gotten me to do, is step out of that comfort zone to really engage socially with people, even people I don't know. And it's been such a thrill and to have this sort of connection with people and to share this event and experience with them, I think is something very unique about Pokemon Go. I know some people play Ingress that way, but because there's such a combat focus in Ingress, it's like, you know, you're competing with these people and you're looking at these people like, oh, I see they're playing Ingress, but like, are they the enemy? I don't want to talk to the enemy. With Pokego, even if they're on a different team, it's like, we're still just trying to catch all these Pokies. We're just trying to be social, fulfill our collections. And to me, that makes it a wholly unique experience that is one I'm very thankful for. And I hope sticks around for a long time to come.
In as far as the teams go, I definitely feel you there on the, we're all just here to hang out and play the game together. I know that there's some amount of rivalry, we'll say, between the different factions, which, for those of you who have not yet played the game, there are three factions in the game. Red, which is Team Valor, Blue, which is Team Mystic, and Yellow, which is Team Instinct.
So many people are on Mystic. That seems to be, like, the hugest team.
Yeah, and a lot of people will say that that's because Articuno is the corresponding Pokemon to that team. Each of the three original legendaries being one of the corresponding color Pokemon. And I've met people from all of the different teams, and we're just happy to work together. Like, at work, there's a few people on Team Mystic, who, and one of them will ping me when a Pokemon pops up in our general workspace. So it's all in all just a great, like, community building situation.
Absolutely. And I love that camaraderie and that sense of cooperation that I feel is lacking from Ingress. And, you know, I know some of the Ingress diehards, if any of y'all are listening to this, you're going to tell me I got it all wrong, and that's fine. I can only speak to my own experience, and my own experience is that, you know, I didn't find the Ingress fan base very welcoming. There was a lot of drama, a lot of friction, a lot of, like, weird, oh, we're on different teams, I don't like you. I just love that Pokemon strips all that crap out, and we are all just here to have fun, make new friends, and, you know, help each other out. I dig that so much.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would contribute that to there being three teams. When there's a two-team dynamic, I feel there's a very, like, us versus them. But when it's one of three, it's just like, you're going to run into the other people, so you might as well just Pokestop together.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well then, I want to wrap this discussion up by asking the last question. We're going to start with Slagkick this time. And that is, where do you want Pokego to go from here? How do you want it to expand? What new features would you like? Tell me.
I mean, we already know that they said that trading with players is going to come, and I think that's going to be great, you know, especially if I've got, like, oh, I don't need any more Pidgeys, I've already got my Pidgeot really powered up, but you need some or whatever. I mean, not that anyone would need Pidgeys, but, you know, so I think that'll really help, especially for people who, you know, maybe have different play styles or amount of time they're able to put in. I'm obviously really hoping that, you know, I hope that they roll it out kind of like, next will be the Gold and Silver Pokemon.
You know, the only exception to that would be, I agree, I would prefer the new waves of Pokemon get introduced chronologically to how the games were released. With the exception, I wouldn't mind if they added Sun and Moon Pokies this November
when Sun and Moon
releases. That's the one break I'd be okay with.
Oh, I think they'd be foolish if they didn't at least include, like, Mimikyu and a few of the other pre-released Pokemon that we've seen so far.
Well, and, you know, it's funny, I wasn't really thinking about this previously, but one of the big complaints when a new wave of Pokemon comes out is always how people are like, oh man, now I'm going to have to learn another 150 of these things. But, like, this would be the ideal way to introduce your audience to the new Pokemon in a way that would be really organic, you know, because, oh, hey, I've already caught a Mimikyu before the game, before Sun and Moon even came out. Now I know what a Mimikyu is, and I'm excited to see it in the JRPG game.
Yeah, and I mean, memorizing 700 plus Pokemon isn't really, I don't know if I could honestly say I know all 700, but I mean, you know, it's one of those states where you learn, but
I bet Sulker does.
No, not at all. I do have that former roommate of mine who has a living Pokedex on the Pokemon Cloud through his Nintendo Nintendo DS. So if we ever have questions, we'll reach out to him.
Indeed. You know, I feel like it's a really solid base to build on. I mean, I'd like to see, it would be kind of cool to have more outfits unlocked, but it's really just a tiny thing.
Well, you know, you say that. I do think we should have more trainer customization options.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the pickings are currently really slim, especially for people who are playing who are persons of color. I think that it would really be great if we could have more skin color and hairstyle options for a more diverse audience.
That's true.
Maybe some facial hair so I can mimic my real life self a little bit better.
And I'm sorry, Saigi, did you have anything else?
No, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, slowly building and, you know, not adding too much at a time in order for it to be more organic, I think that's going to be the best way for it to Pokemon grow.
All right, well done. Sulker?
For me, I agree with all of the additions that you guys have talked about. Personally, I'd like to see individual trainer battles become a thing.
Yes.
Like, even if it was just like, you select one Pokemon, I select one Pokemon, and then we can fight it out, like, right here on the street and actually watch it happen in AR in real time. Just because I have always wanted to see, like, an Arcanine on the street fighting against some other fire type or grass type or some other Pokemon, really.
Not a water type, though.
I mean, we're called same type attack bonus. We know about the differences in elemental weaknesses and attacks here.
We had better. Although, for those of you who don't, I'm sure you will before too long.
One of the mechanics that I am happy that have made it over, speaking of stab, is that stab bonus is almost certainly confirmed in the game now. People have been researching this over on Reddit, posting their findings, and it looks like we do have stab bonuses, same type attack bonus. So if your Pokemon has a move that it corresponds with one of its types, it will do 25% bonus damage on the attack. That is a change from the core JRPG games where stab has always done 50% extra bonus damage. But I'm happy to see it still present in the game, allowing for that little extra bit of strategization.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I feel like the things I want added have already been covered here. Specifically, I just want more Pokemon. You know, I think I like the game itself so much already, but we already know, like, trading is coming. I feel like I have heard that, like, PvP individual trainer battles are coming. So for me, it's like the stuff I want most is already on its way. So I'm just really eager for more Pokemon and maybe more social features, like maybe the ability to, like, set a lore at, like, a party if you're like, oh, we're having a party and I don't mind if other people come. You know, set a lore and hey, suddenly, you know, we're having a party.
I mean, that's basically what the outdoors have become. Like, I've watched people flock to lures out of nowhere all of a sudden, and it's suddenly a little party happening where everyone's like, oh, did you see that Magikarp pop? Oh, wait, it hasn't popped for me. Oh, there it goes. Okay, let me start throwing Pokeballs.
All right, well, before we wrap up this discussion on PokeGo, I just want to ask, do either of you have anything else to say about PokeGo?
Just that, I mean, I knew it was going to be big, and I was even like, oh, they had to have known that they should have had a lot of servers, but... you know, that they shouldn't have had to, you know, add more servers or whatever. But, you know, I honestly have to say, in really like, reflecting about it and seeing, like, how many people who, you know, maybe are more casual gamers are never gamed at all jumping into this. I mean, I did not expect...
There's no reasonable way in the world you could prepare for, what, 15 million users in 2 weeks?
Right, I mean,
there's no way you could prepare for that.
I knew that Pokemaniacs would be obviously there for it, you know, even, like, most gamer-oriented people, but, I mean, just how huge and how much of a phenomenon this is, and that we've got presidential campaigns, like, Hillary says she wants people to Pokemon Go to the polls, and then the Trump campaign put out a crooked... Hillary Pokemon, whatever. Like, I mean, the fact that it's permeated our popular culture
contextualize that user base number. I will let you finish your thought. Peak Ingress was 7 million users. How could they possibly have known that in 2 weeks this would double their max player base?
Right.
There's no possible way.
I mean, there's more people playing Pokemon Go than World of Warcraft, even during its peak,
even,
I think.
Yeah, during peak World of Warcraft. But I'm sorry, continue.
No, just that the extent that this has permeated popular culture. I mean, it is like it's on the news. I mean, and then like you know, there was the news in New York. You saw it with like the bad CG Pokemon and Charmander twirling around in a circle. Bulbasaur, I mean, like it's just like they're like every day I'm like seeing something about like oh, dead body. If Sheen discovers dead body, well. Looking for Pokemon, or you know, like a Pokemon Go get off my lawn meme, or a restaurant advertising Team Mystic discount. Like, I mean, everywhere, like, you know, it's everywhere. And I mean, just for the kid who, you know, was growing up with Pokemon being a secret obsession, like, that's crazy that, you know, people could be like, oh, yeah, I know what a Jolteon is. You know, they might be like, what's a Pikachu? What's a Pokemon? What's a Charizard?
You know, it's funny you say that, because as I was walking around yesterday, I definitely heard someone go, oh, look, there's that fish one again. I caught the fish one again. Like, so a lot of people aren't, like, necessarily learning the names, but I think that as we continue on and they start catching, like, their 400 Magikarp or whatever, they'll start to, like, become one of us.
Oh, Magikarp, I get it.
And that, you know, is kind of the hidden hidden strength of Pokego. I'm really curious if we are going to see a huge sales increase on Sun and Moon if this hype can keep up for another couple months, and hype is at an all-time high when the next Poke game releases. I wonder what that's going to do for sales.
Well, like, yeah, and merchandise too.
Yeah, and I was speaking to one of my friends on Friday who has never played a full JRPG or even a Pokemon RPG, and she's like, you know, this really has me considering this game. And I was like, I'll donate money to a fund to get you your first DS, because she's never owned a Game Boy or a DS. So
yeah,
that
get
she
like
can
a 2DS.
Us.
You know, I bet we're gonna see some great 2DS bundles.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Just you know, and you know, kind of to tie this into Game Buoy. You know, since this is doubling as a Game Buoy episode, you know, this Pokemon Go and like you know. With the NES Classic and Sun and Moon, like now I'm like, oh, it's clear why they didn't feel they needed to rush out the NX. Because, I mean, if they can keep this momentum going, this is going to be huge, continue to be huge for them. And like you said, it's not even out in Japan yet.
Do you guys mind if I jump in on where I'd like to Pokemon Go from here?
No, go for it.
I would like to Pokemon Go outside right now, please, soon.
Oh, well, we
soon.
Better
yeah, we better get
tie up this
rolling,
episode
yeah.
Then.
I'm trying to hit level 20 today, guys. Yeah, please.
Well, I do know there's lots of Pokestops around the SS Buoy, so let's wrap this up.
All right, well then, let's wrap up our discussion and start our new segment. I guess they're all new segments from here, but this is our Pokemon of the Week. Our first Pokemon of the Week, of course, is Pikachu. I think that is the first Pokemon that a lot of people really had on their radar. Slaggy, if you want to give us our rundown on the Pokemon of the Week.
Pikachu, the mouse Pokemon.
Can you just speak in a Dexter voice forever? That'd be great for me.
Okay, so Pikachu is number 25, the mouse Pokemon. It's Electro-type Pokemon and was first seen in Pokemon Red and Green, or, you know, Red and Blue. Of course, the mascot of Pokemon
and
Yellow.
When you say Red and Green, of course, Red and Blue, briefly explain what that means.
Red and Green were, you know, the Japan releases. Red and Blue were the releases here in, you know, the Western world. I'd probably say, you know, we'll definitely be talking about, you know, the Game Boy games and such on here, but we also have done some episodes of Game Buoy about the Game Boy games if you're interested. So, you know, so they were on, so from the original generation, you know, a little bit rare in Red and Blue. You can find them early on in the Viridian Forest, though, and of course, notably the starter of Yellow, which was my experience. So, you know, Pikachu is the mascot of Pokemon. I mean, even though Greninja is actually the most Japan's favorite Pokemon, they did a vote. You know, Pikachu is iconic. I mean, Pikachu is probably like up there with Mickey Mouse in terms of like cultural recognition, I would say. And to even like go into all of the game appearances, anime appearances would be so many. I mean, we obviously know Pikachu from the first episode, Pokemon I Choose You, the very first episode, Ash's Pikachu, who's become like, you know, we were joking.
Often like a main character role in the early Mystery Dungeon games.
Yeah.
Obviously. Obviously, playable representation for the Pokemon series in Smash Brothers.
It was originally just
Pikachu, and you had Jigglypuff as a hidden character. Right. And, you know, now at this point, Pokemon characters account for, what, something like 20% of the Smash roster.
Right.
So and that also really shows you how Pokemon as a franchise has grown in importance to Nintendo.
Yeah, but, you know, just so, like, Pikachu is everywhere. We've got that Detective Pikachu game. So, I mean, Pikachu really continues to be a super important part of Pokemon, super recognizable. There's always going to be merch. Every card expansion has one. I mean, I come from, you know, more of the game part. So, you know, that's probably when we do our Pokemon of the Week will be kind of my focus. We'll be talking more about, like, you know, the game appearances. But, you know, Pikachu's a pure electric type. And I would say probably, especially early on, one of the best electric types. Except in Yellow, where he will refuse a Thunderstone. It evolves into Raichu. Pichu was introduced in Gold and Silver and evolves into Pikachu with Friendship. So that's the egg. Yeah, and I mean, I would say that, you know, Pikachu is a pretty solid electric type. You know, definitely worthwhile. Even in the modern games, we had, of course, the cosplay Pikachu, which...
You know, I'm going to let you finish. But first, I'm just going to talk about Pikachu and Pokemon Go real quick. Because it is one of the harder Pokemon to catch. And
Are you still a little jealous that we got one in Target?
Well, no, because you were in a Target. At any rate, I just want to let our listeners know that if you are starting up the game soon, you should probably think about getting Pikachu as your first Pokemon.
And how do people do that?
Well, I was actually just about to explain that very detail. So in the beginning of the game, the Pokemon Professor will go ahead and offer you three different Pokemon: Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle.
Professor Willow is daddy AF.
I'm sure he is. In any case, if you want a Pikachu instead of one of those three glorious starters, you can walk away from him, which you will actually have to do physically, since it's a GPS game. He'll be like, no, come back here. I want you to, please take one of these Pokemon. Just, you don't know what you're doing. Take a Pokemon. And then if you walk away from him again, he'll pop back up and be like, look, I understand where you're coming from. Here are the three starters again, and you can choose from a Pikachu. So if you're looking to start off with a little electric friend, that's how you make that happen in the game.
I wish I had known. And I don't mean to cut you off, but unfortunately we do have a time restriction coming up. Do we have some fan feedback about Pikachu?
You know, I will probably cover that in our fan feedback in general.
Okay. What we are calling our link cables.
Yes. The only one thing I do want to wrap up with is the cosplay Pikachu, which is Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. You get a female Pikachu. She is really cute. You know, the female Pikachus, when they added the gender differences, has a little heart-shaped tail, so you can have a Rockstar Pikachu, a Bell Pikachu, a Popstar Pikachu, a PhD Pikachu, and Pikachu Libre, who, of course, is...
Pika Libre, come through!
She is playable in Pokken Tournament, so along with a regular Pikachu. So, you know, the cosplay Pikachus are definitely cute. But yeah, like, I feel like Pikachu, there's so much to say. So in the future, we are going to be talking about Pokemon in the Week, and we'd like to open it up. So we'll probably have some polls over on our Twitter, which is at stabcast.org with the .org spelled out .org.
Stabcast.org.
And so look forward to that. So you can tell us what Pokemon you want us to have featured as the Pokemon of the Week.
It's Pikachu!
Fuck!
All right, well then. Normally, at this point, we will be talking a little bit about what's going on in the world of the Pokemon anime, talking about, sort of our watch through of X and Y. We're not going to do that this week, though. We will be starting next week with the first batch of X and Y episodes, and, you know, going from there, when there is a new movie released or what have you, we will talk about that in this place as well.
Indeed.
So let's talk about the card game very briefly. We had two big releases in the world of the Pokemon card game this past couple weeks. The first is the 20th anniversary Venusaur EX box. This is one I'm very excited about. You know, it comes with a little Venusaur figurine. Comes with four packs of the Pokemon Generations expansion. The Generations expansion is exclusive to these, like, boxed events that have been happening in 2016. Obviously, it also comes with a Venusaur EX card, holographic, of course, and a big, like, art piece of Venusaur. So I think that's really cool. I'm a big fan. I haven't gotten this yet. It actually just came out like 3 days ago, so I am on the hunt.
We're gonna have to stop at Toys R Us on our Pokewalk.
We also had the release 2 weeks ago of the Pokemon trading card game Mythical Pokemon Collection Shaymin. This one, of course, comes with a Shaymin card, a Shaymin pin, and two booster packs from Pokemon Generations. These are both available in stores now. If you are interested in collecting Pokemon cards, I highly recommend you check these guys out. The Generations line so far has been really cool, and I highly recommend everyone gets into it.
That's awesome.
All right, well, we are at time for our feedback.
All right, so Link Cables is where we will be hearing feedback from you, whether that be about the games, the anime, Pokemon of the Week, and all of that sort of thing. This week, we kind of, you know, tied it into our Game Buoy Question of the Week style. We said, this week, Sulker joins us to talk about Pokemon Go. What have your experiences been with this gaming sensation? Bonus, we're also going to take a look at the iconic Electric Mouse Pikachu. What do you think about number 25? So the first feedback we got from that was Monarch Pyratica, who is also known as Sulker, saying, going to be on a podcast. Whee! Yes, you are, and here you are.
Yeah, I think we could have kind of skipped that one, but okay, here we are, and yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Your Enzyme, we're glad to have you. You're a great fit. Your Enzyme on Twitter says, needs better servers. I've not been able to go a full day without login, catching, transfer issues, etc. Each time I think it's getting better, they open the game in a new region, and the problem gets worse. I've lost lures and incense too many times to count.
Boom.
Other than the major complaints, I'm having more fun with Pogo than I've had in any of the recent games.
Now that's interesting. I'd like to hear more about that.
Indeed. Also saying, as far as Pikachu's fine, kind of missed the old design. They had to try and make the darn thing cuter.
Oh, because Pikachu used to have a little tummy, and now he's like a little slimmer.
And speaking of which...
Hey, he's been Pokemon going pretty hard, okay?
Oh, he has. Across the land, searching far and wide. We have Boar Bacon saying, I like oval head Pikachu or super chubby Chew. Nothing in between. Asymmetrical Homo says, don't shame Pikachu's weight loss journey. And then Boar Bacon replied with a gif of Ash punching Pikachu holding a rice ball. Or, for those in the know, a jelly donut. Oh, Krylo saying, I totally miss Fat Pikachu. He was my homie.
Aw, I love all this love for Fat Pikachu.
Right? Your Enzyme retweeted a server update. There is currently 47,302,242 people trying to log in worldwide. Please be patient if your game crashes. And then Your Enzyme saying, kind of makes me feel bad for criticizing their servers. And then Dark Shifter says, I've seen more of my city in the past week than I have in 5 years. It's amazing and beautiful.
One of my friends on Facebook messaged me separately saying his experience with Pokemon Go has been spinning Pokeball of death.
Boo.
That was Seeps over on Facebook.
Aw. Over on Facebook, on, you know, right now we just had it on our Game Buoy because this is our first episode of Stab, but we do have facebook.com/stabcast.org with the .org spelled out .org. We asked the same questions, and we have Mike I, also known as Act Deaf, saying, it's been awesome. Everyone's playing it and having so much fun. Love it. Also, Pikachu's not my favorite, but I do main Pika Libre and Poken. She's awesome. Nathan BL, for those on the RAF fandom, saying, the game itself is just a geolocated slot machine, but hell if I'm not enjoying pulling the lever. Only been to one organized gathering so far, but I'm looking forward to going on a cross-city hike with the local Nintendo gamers. How long until other gens? I can't be a ghost grandmaster with just ghastly. And also saying, the best Pikachu is Mimikyu.
I mean, that's when adorable Pikachu.
Remzy L saying, I got my first Pokemon Go dick pic yesterday, so awesome.
Dang.
Wow. Jokes aside, it's hugely enjoyable walking around collecting Pokemon. Danielle W saying, I barely downloaded the app and started playing, mostly because I knew everyone coming into my library where she works would be playing it, and I wanted to know more. From a non-gamer perspective, it's been interesting to see the culture that's popped up around it. People are connecting with one another in new ways. They're excited, happy, and competitive in a healthy way. Exactly what I look for when I'm trying to decide if I want to try a game. Parents and grandparents are coming into the library to ask how to play and say, what exactly are these Pokemon anyway? So we're putting together resources to help them figure it out. And I'm trying to figure out how to put together a few programs about playing and learning the game as well as crafts.
That's
so
awesome.
Cool about bringing the community together. Jason L, better known as Seawolf Jason, our big buddy, saying, I think I've socialized with more random strangers in the last 2 weeks than I have in a month. Like almost any day I go out on a Pokewalk, I meet someone and have a casual greeting. Francisco you, also known as Okryla, saying the first week one was so frustrating because everyone seemed to be able to play and I was feeling left out and deleted the app. But then I came back, I heard you can access if you use Google to sign in, because I originally used the Pokemon Trainer Club to log and I had to restart, but it's totally cool because Pikachu showed up as a choice for my starter. Anyway, it's been fun catching Pokemon since, and they even left a few to defend Team Instinct gyms around SoCal. This weekend, I'm going up to Disneyland to hunt with Pokemon with my BFF and some of her friends.
Awesome.
That sounds amazing. I can't wait to hear. Please follow up with that. And then over on, I shared it on my own profile, and I got Misha, another one of our IRL friends, saying, for me, Pokemon Go has been a nostalgic and fun game that has really motivated me to go out and sparked multiple social interactions with strangers. Also, Wayne P., also known as Parmy from our old World of Warcraft guild, said she sells seashells by the seashore. I'm like, come on, you could have at least done she sells selders or something. So, trolling as always, Parm. But yeah, thank you for that amazing feedback. Like we said,
thanks.
a lot of people who typically aren't even gamers, you know, jumping in on this. So we love your feedback. We can be mailed at mail@stabcast.org.
mail@stabcast.org,
and we're at facebook.com/stabcast.org, and we are at twitter.com/stabcast.org, both of those spelled out dotorg, and we're at stabcast.org.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us on our inaugural episode of Stabcast, same type attack bonus podcast. We deeply, deeply, deeply appreciate your time and attention today. I hope you have had half as much fun as we have had talking to you guys about Pokemon. I'm really excited about the journey that we are all setting off on together here. We will have a full slate of shoutouts and what have you to go at the end of the show starting next week. But for now, you know, if you're not familiar with our work, you want to hear more of us, not sure why, but, you know, feel free to check out GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
I'm sure you can guess just from our name where you can find us on the internet. Until next time, though, keep catching, keep training, and Pikachu, I choose you.
If I'm wearing a bikini, where do I put my Pokeballs? Teehee, a woman's secret.
Pokemon, get to the day.
All right, so we just launched a new show that is Stabcast.
We've got to wrap up GameBuoy now, don't we?
Right, we sure do. Thank you all so much for your time and attention. We really appreciate it, and we hope you come on this new adventure with us.
Yeah, and obviously GameBuoy will continue to be GameBuoy, and Stabcast will be its own thing. But
yeah, this is the only combo episode that will never happen again.
You know, we just thought, you know, with Pokemon Go being so huge, that Buoy, you know, and this just seemed like the appropriate way to launch this.
Indeed. All right, well, with
we're
that
like doing
been
a Niantic
said,
thing. It's spinning off on its own.
With that having been said, let's start up the wind down.
With what's up?
Indeed.
I said, hey, what's going on?
All right, Slaggy, you go first. What have you been playing this week?
Pokemon Go and World of Warcraft.
Okay, talk about your World of Warcraft experience.
You know, I'm getting ready for the pre-Legion expansion patch, which is launching on Tuesday. Something kind of cool that I did was I found that at your garrison, you can get a special epic stone that levels a battle pet up to 25. I don't really do battle pets, but I did that on all my 100s, so now I have 5 25s, which means I'm not really interested in doing the pet battles like competitively, but I do want to do pet collecting. So I guess that's kind of similar to my Pokemon Go experience. So now
Indeed.
I can go out in any region of Azeroth or Draenor rather and collect any battle pet now pretty much.
Excellent. That's great.
So
well,
it's, yeah.
What about you, Sulker? What has your gaming week looked like?
So obviously there's been a lot of Pokemon Go, so I won't talk about that because I hear that we just did a podcast about that. I guess is the outro for a different show now. But otherwise, I've been playing Civ 5 or Civilization 5 for those of you who don't like shortening names of things. And that is mostly because you guys got me started on that game a couple of weeks. I'm still playing on pretty low difficulty, because I'm still trying to learn how to game it. But I'm kind of doing this in anticipation of Civilization 6, which I hear is going to be ridiculous.
We might have to start a CivCast. I mean, I don't
know. That's not going to happen, but we are going to do an individual CivCast. Please look forward to
it. We will, definitely.
All right.
What have you been playing?
That's pretty much been it for me. I've kind of dropped all of my other mobile social games just because if I'm spending time on my phone and it's not for a text message, it's definitely going to be for Pokemon Go. What about you, Spike? What have you been playing this week?
Let's see. So Monster Hunter Generations came out in North America yesterday. I am already into the 3-star quest, so I've been going pretty hard. I'm sorry, I said yesterday. It came out 2 days ago. Played more Project Cross Zone. Cool. Yay me. Both these games I'm really enjoying, obviously, having a lot of fun, playing more Smash as ever and always, really enjoying it. I continue to love Smash. Watched a lot of Evo this week, which isn't quite playing a game, but watching a game counts, I think. That's been a lot of fun.
Smash 4 was really awesome.
Right? So I've just been having a very, like, competitive game experience lately.
That's great. Also, did you see, well, I know you saw these things, the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 finals. Can we talk about that for half a second?
It was so hype, but holy moly, was Chris G, I think his name was.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Owning all competitors, even the previous Marvel 3 world champion. So that was phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, congrats to Chris G. I assume you listen to this podcast because everyone should.
Ah, well, thank you for that. All right, well, with all that having been said, Slaggy, if you would like to start wrapping this up, I don't think we have any feedback beyond what we were just talking about.
Nope, because we doubled up with the feedback this week for Social Links, but fantastic. As ever and always, we love your feedback.
We like love it.
iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your fake book. We like your Facebook likes.
Well, it might as well be for most of us, but we do like them.
And we fucking love Twitter.
We do effing love Twitter.
And you can mail us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
And our entire episode archive, all, what is this, 116 now? All 116 of these are available on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And where else are they available?
You can listen to us weekly on the VOG Network. That is the Voice of Geeks Network over at VOGNetwork.com. Other VOG shows you should be listening to are Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we steal ever so many of our cues. Ranger Pridecast, where I appear along with Shane Alenko to talk about the current season of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai series upon which it's based. You should also check out the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. In non-VOG shows, you should check out Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin, as well as their sister show X Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. Though one has to wonder exactly how much longer that show can go.
Aww.
That's just me being shady. It's not towards the people who do that
show.
No,
I know.
It's shade towards
Marvel.
Yeah. We also, of course, have the currently on hiatus Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. And Slag Kicks Project, our
soon to
sister
be off
show,
hiatus.
Soon to be off hiatus, Reading is Fundamental, where we talk about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race, along with our good friends Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio and Delvin from VG Realness. Slaggy, why don't you take us a place?
I'm going to take you to a game bar. Game Bar is the gay video game Prairie Home Companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, along with Video Game Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. La Palanca podcast por y para gay gamers latinoamericanos en español, the Joystick Jockeys, two LGBTQ gamers who love games and love talking about them, and our LGBTQ cuties. That's my part of the tagline. Also, we have our allies over on the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk, and DSZ. That's the DSZ podcast over at DSZ.com, where GameBuoy superfans Dan and Crystal level up their game development skills and discuss the daily grind along the way on a non-daily schedule. And last but certainly not least, I'd like to also call out to our other sister ship. That is Anime Buoy, part of the SS Buoy fleet. It is your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. You know, we're very busy this week prepping for the launch of Stabcast, but please look forward to another Anime Buoy very soon.
And I do want to take this opportunity to note, I'm sure as you've noticed, we're adding Stabcast to our repertoire. For what that means for our other shows, Game Buoy is going to remain twice monthly, occasionally thrice monthly. Anime Buoy, since we're already struggling with doing twice monthly, is now just going to be a once monthly show. I think the show will be better for it. And if you have, you're in need of some more anime recommendations than we're providing you, you can just reach out to us on social media. We love talking about anime.
Yeah, so please look forward to another Anime Buoy soon. Our wonderful theme music here on Game Buoy was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the project that aims to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sound. As you know, they unfortunately closed their doors quite a while back, but will forever be pouring out a 40 in the Great Fairy Fountain for them. And our Stabcast, same type attack bonus music, was done by Nate Wants to Battle, also known as Nathan Sharp, or I should have said that the other way around, rather. For those who don't know, he's over at youtube.com/NateWantsToBattle. Probably the best anime covers that I've seen. Definitely a lot of video game covers, too. He does some Let's Plays, so please check him out and support him. He actually does a voice in the upcoming release of, or the PlayStation release of ROM, Read Only Memories, and the new voice pack that's coming. So that's also very excited. So,
all right. Well, thank you for getting that taken care of. With all of that out of the way, I have to give you one last chance, Sulker. Do you have anything you want to shout out to? Anything you want to throw your support behind before we log off for the day?
Not really. I mean, other than Team Instinct, I really don't have anything to throw my love out to right now. Love to my friends on the interwebs. Goodbye, everyone.
All right. Well, then, thank you so much for joining us this lovely Sunday afternoon. We really enjoy having all y'all out there on Internet Radio Land listening to us, interacting with us. We really appreciate you guys. We couldn't do what we do without you. We hope you've had as nice of a Sunday afternoon as we've had with you. Until next time, though, keep gaming, keep thinking, and Pokemon, Kimi ni Kimetta!
Life can be a challenge. Life can seem impossible. It's never easy when there's so much on the line. But you and I can make a difference. There's a mission for just you and me. Just look inside and you will find just what you can do.
Pokemon!
Mics are hot.
Hot mics, hot mics.
Hot men. I mean mics.
All right, I'm just going to go into this. Testing, testing, testing.
Testing, testing, testing.
All right, I need to be a little closer. You look good.
I always look good. I mean, I have good eyesight.
Constantly!
Exactly!
Thank you for calling the Sonoma Hilton Wine Countries. How can I help you today?
Testing, testing.
I don't want to wait for my life to be over.
It's never easy when there's so much from the line.